You know the cast of Kid Craddock in the Morning, but can you tell what their childhood homes looked like? Head to KidNation.com and play our game, Who Lived Where? Just match the five childhood homes to the corresponding cast member, and you could win a hometown trip with your favorite one. Find out who lived where on Kid Craddock in the Morning.
It's being rumored that Scarlett Johansson is going to play a young Hillary Clinton in a movie about Hillary Clinton's life. Yeah. And as a result, the part of a young Bill Clinton will be played by Bill Clinton. He volunteered.
Let me tell you something right now. There's no way you're going to have a Scarlett Johansson playing my wife, and I don't get to do the love scenes with her. Right. Okay? All right? I'm 72 years old.
I got you, Bill.
I finally get to have some fun.
Yeah.
But you know who's running for president?
Who?
Again?
Who?
Donald Trump. Conan, take it away.
A new report says that Donald Trump has spent $1 million trying to figure out if he should run for president in 2016. Yeah, $1 million, yeah. Experts are already calling it the world's most expensive no.
We got a contest going on here with Kid Craddock in the Morning.
From my hometown.
Go back to our hometown. Each of us has fond memories of where we grew up. And we're going to go back there with one listener and their guest. It could be Florence, South Carolina, with Kelly Raspberry. It could be deep in the hood of Dallas, with Big Al. It could be San Diego.
Oh, yes, San Diego.
With JC. Cincinnati, Ohio, with Jenna.
Yes.
Or the Tampa Bay area in Florida with me. You have to match up our childhood homes with the cast members who lived in them. And you can do that on KidNation.com, KIDDNation.com. That's how you enter the contest. And we'll choose one winner, and they get to pick where they go and whose house they're going to go to.
Okay? All righty.
Cool.
That's a good picture of my crew.
Everybody needs to be thinking about where you're going to take them, you know?
Oh, I already thought about it yesterday. Yeah.
I'm thinking San Diego's got it in the bag.
Yeah, San Diego.
Who would want to go on a vacation to San Diego?
Maybe the winner doesn't like me.
Because this is more about who you're going with than where you're going.
Yes.
And none of these places are terrible.
It's a little bit of both.
Even, I'd say the least popular among them would be Cincinnati, probably, in terms of, like, if you're going on a vacation, you might go, well, Florence would be the least popular. Very few people would choose Florence.
You could go down to Myrtle Beach or something.
No, I mean as a destination for, like, a
we are on in Florence, South Carolina.
No,
so
I mean,
what if the person from Florence wins? They're like, well, why would I want to stay here? I'd rather go somewhere else.
That's fine. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, Cincinnati and Florence are not big travel
it's
towns.
It's a magic city.
Tampa Bay is. San Diego is.
If it's based on geography, then you're right.
Yeah.
But
I think it's going to be more about picking the person you want to go with.
But I would take them to, like, my middle school and show them where I had my first French kiss in front of, like, 100 kids. Or, like, I could take them up and down the hill where I used to ride my bike down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, all my high school friends still live there, and I haven't seen them in a while, so I'm just going to take you out to really great restaurants and go socialize with friends.
See, that's cool.
I'm going to take you to the Sandpiper Bar in Clearwater, where I used to go when I was 16, and see if they still hide the one fake ID under the air conditioning vent, because they had one ID, and anybody could use it. You just walk up, you grab the ID, it says you're 21, it's a dude, doesn't look anything like you, but who cares? You just hand that to the guy, he's like, thanks, and he'll put it back for you. How great is that?
Wow. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't do that now.
The bar was filled with 14-year-olds and Jimmy Buffett. It's where he started.
Huh.
It's where he was playing every night.
Hmm.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I'm kind of selling you on picking me.
The original Margaritaville, I guess.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you can go to our hometowns. Just go on KidNation.com to win this contest. It's called Who Lived Where.
All right. I can take you to where I beat up Paul Heron.
Oh, you didn't beat up Paul Heron.
You didn't beat
him.
Never beat up anybody in your life.
Right there by the track at Green Hill School.
Okay. I'll take you to the Sombreros where Tom from Blink 182 let me have a bite of his bean burrito.
Whoa, you're going there, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take you to the place where I had dinner with Kiss without their makeup on.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Top that.
I'm trying to think.
Okay.
I'll take you to an outdoor concert, if there is one, where I got arrested.
There you go.
I can take you to Conception Point.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure that's several different locations for you.
It'd be like a tour.
Yeah. And, take all day. And speaking of beating up Paul, the Heat beat up on the Pacers last night. Yeah. LeBron speaks about it.
Just win. By any means necessary. And we put ourselves in a position throughout the regular season to represent our home court. And even though we wanted to take care of business on the road, we didn't have the opportunity to do that. So
we rewarded our fans with another game. And we was happy that they brought out the excitement and we took care of business.
I like the way he phrased that. You know, we rewarded our fans. Instead of winning it in Indiana, we gave them a chance to see it at home. And sure enough, it wasn't even close.
A very tough series aside from tonight's blowout. Miami wins it in seven. And they advance to the finals where they'll meet up with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep. I don't know why I feel so bad
first
for the
losers. First two games in Miami.
You know, I wanted Miami to win only because I wanted to see San Antonio and Miami. I really want to see those two teams play. But, looking at the guys.
The Pacers gave their heart, man.
I know, man. I felt
bad. And here's why. Because I think more than any other two people in the room, you and I have experienced losing so often.
Yeah, I guess
that
so.
We empathize with losers.
Seriously, man.
Maybe I can't speak for you, but I lose all the time.
I felt so bad for them.
I'm used to losing.
I felt great for Miami, whatever, blah. But I looked over there at the bench of Indiana. I'm like, man.
I know.
It went up so close.
Some got to win.
Yeah.
Some got to lose.
Nature
to get.
New Music Tuesday on Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Let's see what we got here for the New Music Tuesday. We'll start with a band that's very familiar, although they haven't done anything for quite a while.
It's been 1 week.
Bare Naked Ladies?
You remember Bare Naked Ladies?
Yeah.
5 days since you laughed at me, saying, get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
I always liked that song.
I did too. They have, you'll think you're looking at Aquaman. Another hit? Is that the only thing they got?
I think that was it. Wonder? That was it. Yeah, because it was kind of a novelty song.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's crazy.
With all the rapping in it.
Yeah. Because I'm all about value.
It mentions a bunch of people.
You try to match wits. You try to hold me but a bus through. Gonna make a break and take a pick out like a
I like the fast talking he does right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
Gonna see the show because then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go because it's so dangerous. You'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Alright, so that's a band called Bare Naked Ladies, and they've got a new CD out. One critic said, everything about this new album indicates that they have re-embraced the goofy free will inside they left behind during their last album. See, they lost their founding member. His name was Stephen Page. He took off, and he was kind of the one with the funny bone, you know, who wrote the funny songs and stuff, and he's gone now. But they have replaced him, and they say they're back to being funny again. Let's see.
The odds are that we will probably be all right. Odds are we going to be all right. Odds are we going to be all right tonight. The odds are that we will probably
be. Song's called Odds Are. All right, so that's Bare Naked Ladies. Their new album, Grinning Streak, is out today. Also out today, a band that I've only seen them because they open for bands that I like, but it looks like they might start to headline on their own. It's her fourth album. It's called Love and Drugs, and the band is called The Main. Have you guys heard of The Main?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
The Main very well.
Don't be surprised if they put a sticker on this album that says, the making of this album included no computers or digital technology.
Kelly
they,
and I...
They recorded this album on a reel-to-reel tape recorder, using no digital processing, no digital anything.
Kelly, we hung out with them, remember?
You guys did?
With Cover Starship.
Oh, yeah. Did you? With Pat.
There was somebody else.
You know,
there?
Pat? He's the lead singer. Pat somebody.
Pat, I don't remember the names. Kirsch. They were wearing cool costumes.
They were wearing cool costumes.
Like they were soldiers, yeah.
Oh, like Daft Punk? Like robots and stuff?
No, it was Halloween. So they were dressed up like soldiers.
Okay.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
None at all.
Yeah, Cobra Starship.
I remember Cobra Starship.
And then one of the guys tried to kiss Kenzie at the club, and that was not very pretty.
What?
A new album out today for Kelly.
That would be Lee and Ron.
Yeah, it is.
Who kicked Trisha Yearwood's butt with her version of this song.
You think?
How? Yes. Yeah.
You like
she
Leanne's
did
better.
So much better than Trish. And she was, what, 14 at the time or something? 15. Ridiculous.
She's been famous forever, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's got new stuff out right now.
Really?
It's all about her
new stuff.
Affair with Eddie Cibrian and the guilt she felt.
Yeah. She co-wrote 13 of these songs, and like 12 of them are about the guy she cheated on and being cheated on and being
worried
about, cheated on. And Brandy Glanville and all of that. Here's Leanne Rimes' new song. It's called Bottle.
So tell me, how do you fit every star in the sky, every perfect work of art? It's ever made me cry, every rose, every sound, every ocean, every shore.
I'm really in the country right now.
It's really country.
Where's the part about her being guilty and cheating?
She sounded very happy, actually.
Maybe the unhappiness is in the second single.
Okay. You don't want to lead with the sad stuff.
When I say huge pop star Matthew Morrison,
Glee?
What do you say? Liar?
Liar. Yeah.
Huh? He put out an album a couple of years ago and had a song that started to do something, didn't really catch on.
Sounded like Jason Mraz, didn't it?
You remember this?
Yeah.
It got played a little bit.
See, he used to be a part of that boy band Element. Remember Element?
Element.
They had that song, Hey Juliet.
No.
Hey Juliet.
Now I know
I
what.
Think you're
I know. I know the kid in the wheelchair on Glee was in a boy band.
Yeah.
He
called
was too.
NSK?
NSK or...
No Sleep Kid?
Yeah. I forget what it was called.
NLT.
NLT, yeah.
NLT,
right.
Yeah.
But he was in a boy band, but it was like for a hot second, I think he left before... I mean, literally he was in it before they even became famous. And he was also in a Guiding Light or some soap opera. He's done a lot of
things. He might be a little too cheesy to maybe make it as a pop star. I don't know.
Well, he takes himself very seriously.
Sure does. And here he is with his new album...
some standards or something, right? And a bunch of standards.
It's called Where It All Began. And here's Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the rain.
I'm singing in the
rain. So much for that pop star thing. Let's keep up on that.
Why is he trying to go into Michael Bublé zone?
I know.
Maybe that's his comfort zone.
Now, you know who believes in this guy?
Who?
Adam Levine.
Well, he's great at singing this kind of music. He seems more like a Broadway star than a pop
totally.
Star.
Totally. Adam is on, Adam has a label called 222 Records.
222?
Yeah. One critic said, what with the endless and frequently pointless album spinoffs and actor solo careers, being a hardcore gleek must be seriously tough on the piggy bank. Well, time to scrimp up those pennies again, because for a second album, Matthew Morrison has decided to indulge himself by singing his favorite standards.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. Adam Levine said, it's so great working with Matthew, and he's an amazing artist, and we're both huge supporters of the LGBT community.
Yes, okay. I think he's, in fact, donating a portion of the proceeds of the sales to GLBT.
LGBT.
Or LGBT. Yeah. And I don't know if they're really...
That's a good station.
You know,
LGBT?
Yeah.
LGBT.
Expecting a huge check.
You're down with LGBT?
Yeah. You know
I don't know if they're going to be planning their whole annual budget around that donation.
BT101.7. Yeah. All your delicious light rock favorites from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
BT.
With all that nerve-jangling DJ chatter. It's a good station. I enjoy it.
And, of course, LGBT stands for, Al?
Long Green...
Al, come on, seriously.
Say it for real.
Huh?
LGBT. You've never heard it.
Long, know it. Never.
Al.
Ever.
What do you think it has to do with? Al, what do you think it has to do with?
Broadway?
You really don't know?
You really don't
I've
know.
Never
I
heard,
you
I've never
Are
heard
Are you serious?
No, I've never heard that before in my life.
Shannon, I'm so sorry.
Do you watch CNN?
LGBT.
It can also be GLBT. It's been said
it's
both ways.
GLBT, G is for?
Gay. Okay, now figure out the rest.
You didn't get the rest.
Now figure out the rest.
All right.
GLBT.
B. Boobs. Huh?
You don't say hello, you say?
Goodbye.
No, you say?
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Yes, it's lesbian, gay, bye-bye.
Are you serious?
Lesbian, gay, bye-bye.
Trans?
Yeah.
Trans what?
Gender?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Big Al. Welcome
Look at Al learning on the
Welcome
show.
To 1985, Al.
You really didn't know GLBT.
You know, in context,
it doesn't come up a lot in conversations. You know, I give you a break on that, Al.
I have heard of it.
They even have awards now and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean,
like, that's how it shows.
In context, yeah. Yeah. You know.
In context.
Gay and lesbian, yeah, I got it, dude. Come on.
Okay.
It's all good.
Let's go now to, we're New Music Tuesday in it right now. Let's go to Queens of the Stone Age. Their sixth album, and it's called Like Clockwork. The song is called My God is the Sun. A critic says, this is a soundtrack to the B-movie of your dreams. It's the best and most focused Queens album since Songs from the Deaf way back in 2002. The key is not just the band's ability to paralyze with power or to space out with stoner rock psychedelia. It's its willingness to infuse its melodies with vulnerability and a disquieting fragility.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm too dumb to listen to this record.
No, I don't listen to them very much because it's a little loud rock for me, but yeah. I had to watch them because I was waiting to see Red Hot Chili Peppers headline a festival once, and they went on right before Red Hot, so I got to watch them, and they were really great.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, they were really great.
What do you know about Filter?
Filter?
Yeah.
They sang a song called Take a Picture, like way back in the 90s, right?
I saw them on tour with Everclear, Filter. That was their hit back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, and here's their new song. It's called What Do You Say? All right, so there you go. There's All Filter. Right.
There you go. There you go.
They're good. Daft Punk is the number one album in the country right now, and it's, I mean, even Time Magazine just did a two-page thing on Daft Punk.
I can't even handle how much I love this album.
They are right now probably the second most famous, or one of two famous French bands. One of two. Without Jenna answering, name the other one.
Phoenix.
French
band? There you go. Phoenix. Got it.
What'd you say,
Al? No, I was
Al's still working on LGBT.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, Daft Punk, those two guys who now wear the robot costumes and stuff, and their song Get Lucky, and it's like number one biggest album in the country.
Summer Jam.
Yeah. There's something new that just came out that all of England is excited about. And I'm trying to find it. Where is it? You guys... What's that? What are you
Phoenix.
Playing?
Phoenix. No.
Oh, this is Daft Punk, yeah.
Daft Punk, I mean?
Yeah.
Phoenix, Daft Punk. Oh, this has some guy from The Strokes on it.
Al, you remember the band Chic?
Yeah.
Freak Out. They used the drummer and producer of that band, Bernard.
Okay.
And he did most of this album, so it's very 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow.
You know, they...
Who sings that new song that I like?
One More Time is their biggest hit. You know, that was huge.
Yeah.
It's like next to Celebration by Kool & the Gang. Those two songs are probably the instant feel-good song. One More Time. Mm-hmm. You can't be in a bad mood listening to that. Dun, dun.
They didn't do the Kanye Stronger beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's them. Mm-hmm. And Kanye borrowed that, and that's how they really kind of got super famous.
That new
people
song,
that didn't know him.
It's a white group.
White group.
It's a white
Radioactive. That
Radiohead.
Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
Song.
I'm digging that.
Yeah. It's been out for a while, though.
Right? Yeah,
it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
Shannon,
about
can you pull up Radioactive Imagine Dragons?
Radioactive.
You don't have it. All right. Do you have Disclosure that you just put in? Oh, there it is. Okay. This just came out yesterday in England. It's going to be big here. They're calling this like the competition for Daft Punk for the Song of the Summer.
When the fire starts to burn, right? And it starts to spread.
The band's called Disclosure. And just like Daft Punk, it's two dudes.
They wear cool helmets.
They do.
Oh, they do?
No, they don't wear helmets. They're like two producers. And so they use a lot of other people, and sometimes they're not even on their songs. When a fire starts to burn, you sure get the title in your head, though, don't you?
Sounds like Sweet Brown.
Wow. Sounds a little bit like Lil Wayne to me. If he was clear in his speech.
I feel like I'm in Vegas.
That's Disclosure, and they came up through the House and Trance stuff, and friends with Skrillex and those guys, which there'd be no Skrillex without Daft Punk, I think. So it all kind of fits together. Here's another one. Like, if you go to Europe this summer, you're going to hear this every 5 seconds.
Well, that's a list of...
I'm going to be annoyed in Europe.
A lot of people go on vacation to Europe. Yeah. You know? That's what I've heard.
New Music Tuesday should just be called Music Not Meant For Me.
Really?
Apparently.
Oh, no, the Daft Punk album's so good.
You're not feeling any
of those,
It's
one of my favorite ones in a while.
So anyway, that band was called Disclosure. If you want to check that out, the album just came out yesterday.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
So who on the show is watching The Bachelorette?
I am.
JC's in.
I will be.
I'm in.
Last night.
I have yet to see one, so I'm over
Jenna
two.
And Kelly can leave the room. No, they can actually ask questions for people that didn't watch it.
Kelly,
I didn't mean Kelly, I meant Al. Jenna and Al can leave the room. All right. Why does the girl on the Bachelorette always have to be so sweet and nice? Like last week, Dez had to deal with that guy that was constantly asking her to the fantasy suite. Mm. And at one point, he got up and took her by the hand and said, "Let's go." And she's like, "It's like her fourth time with him. Well, where are we going? Where are we going?" And sure enough, he walks her down to his hotel room, basically. And she's nice about it. She's like, "I'm not that kind of girl, blah, blah, blah." But she's nice about it. Wouldn't it be great if just once the Bachelorette was a girl with an attitude and no filter?
That's what we would have gotten with Michelle Money back in the day. Remember her?
It would be. Yeah.
She would have been just like that. She would have given everybody the business.
Mm-hmm. So I tried to pick who on the show would be best to play that person. And I deemed it was close. But I decided to go with Kelly on this one.
Thanks,
all right,
kid. It's the closest I'll ever get.
Welcome. Hold on. Welcome to the Bachelorette. Okay. All right. Do we have the music? Do we have the cool music? Yeah. Tension music? Okay. Here we go. Because we're just going to do the final rose ceremony. You ready, Kelly?
Yes.
All right. I'll be the host.
Or call me Vanessa.
Vanessa. I'll call you Vanessa. Okay. Here we go. Okay, guys, it's the final rose ceremony. Vanessa, you have 12 handsome guys over there, but only 10 roses. That means two of you will be going home. Vanessa, how are you feeling?
I feel like I want to reshuffle. These are the ones that are left?
Yes, these are your final 12, and they're right here. They can hear you.
Oh, my God, I totally screwed this up. Look at them.
Time to see who's going to be one step closer to being your soulmate.
I hope you're hiding some in the back.
Let's get started. Just start handing out those roses, if you don't mind.
Jason, will you accept this rose?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I will, Vanessa. And I can't wait to get to know you much better.
All right, now this is the first time I've, seen you this close up.
What?
So never mind. Get back in line.
Hey, Chris, can she do that?
Well, this is all about Vanessa finding true love.
Wow, did you see the nose on that guy? Yeah. He's got stretch marks on his pullover.
I'm standing right here.
Still 12 roses left.
He could smoke a cigar in the shower. Wow.
Thanks.
I guess I never noticed it. He walked up here and I was like, dang, I could ski off that thing.
I'm still standing here. Thanks.
Ready for another name.
Wow. Okay, I'm kind of scared now. All right, who's that guy that did the magic trick?
That was Bryce.
Okay, Bryce, you're out.
Hey,
that's not how we do it here.
But I thought this was about me finding true love, and he's not it. So bye, Bryce.
You're kicking Bryce out right now.
Dang. Yeah.
All right.
Dang. I mean, come on, let's go. Short on time. Keep walking. And nope, no hug. Just take a left, Houdini. Have a nice dorky life.
Okay, Vanessa, he's gone, and you still have all your roses left.
Yeah, can I just save them for a whole bunch of new guys?
I'm going to ask you what I'm sure the viewers at home are asking. What's wrong with all these good-looking gentlemen?
Really?
Really.
I mean, come on. Gay, creepy, short, gay, fat, unibomber. Pothead, redneck, narcissist, mama's boy, Canadian.
Hey. Well, you need to pick 10 of them.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Well, Vanessa, we have to hand out these roses just like we do at the end of every show for the last 7 years. So if you don't mind.
All right. Wesley, will you accept this rose and also promise to take a shower at least once every other day?
Well, heck yeah. It'd be an honor. Hey, Vanessa, I can't wait to take you mudding.
Ugh, I'm calling Uber.
Oh. See you next week on The Bachelorette. Why not? Why not just have somebody be honest about it?
Keep it rural?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
America thinks that's what they want.
Like a Nicki Minaj type. Hey, you know what? I'm really not feeling any of y'all.
Yeah.
Go.
And then America would turn on her, right?
That's why they don't do it.
What was your favorite moment in the show last night, Kelly?
My favorite? Uh-huh. Gosh, how do I pick one?
Yeah.
I think it might have been when the guys having to feel like they have to share the most pathetic sob. I'm sick. I've been through the most personal, horrific tragedies.
I tweeted that. I'm like, why do they feel the need to tell a girl within 10 minutes the most tragic thing that happened? Did they learn this from the last series?
They all study the show. They know how this show works. They know that you need a really horrible sob story to get the attention of the person.
If you haven't had a chronic disease or a life-changing illness or a terribly life or death accident, you better go stage one before you get on this show.
Also,
what's the point?
Can we get rid of the title entrepreneur and just put the real title?
Bartender?
Sales? Yeah, either bartender or you are jobless at the current moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real, please.
Yeah, that's Ben they're talking about. And Ben was the one who won Dez's heart with the first impression rose by bringing his little six-year-old son, Brody, up there to meet Dez first. And some people were like, wow, that's a little exploitive.
And some women are like, so sweet.
Oh, leave him alone. He's great. But is he great? We'll get into that in a minute. It looked to me like the first date Dez went on, she fell in love and the show's over.
I know.
That's what it looked like to
me. Brooks is the one that's exceptionally nervous. If you watched last week, his mouth was so dry. His lips kept getting stuck on his teeth. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of a bit of Tom Brady. I don't know if it's his hair.
He reminds me of somebody, but I couldn't figure out who it is.
He reminds me of Ben Flagnick.
No!
With that hair?
No!
Ben Flagnick's hair was like poofed up. This guy's is like
check
model
Twitter.
Status.
I'm not the only one saying
no.
it.
No.
No, I don't think so.
The most magical day I've ever experienced. Getting the rose means to me that I get to spend more time with her. And she enjoyed the day that we had together.
Is it Stefan?
I could feel that chemistry between us and it just felt right.
I forget his personal tragic story, though.
I don't think he had one.
Let's see. Did he have type 1 diabetes or
no?
No, that was the other guy.
All right. How about the Iraqi vet who sits down with Dez?
Okay.
And says, I was in a car accident that nearly took my life.
Shows the pictures.
And here's the pictures.
Who does that?
Okay, first of all, if you watched last week, this is the guy who said, I joined the military because a girl broke my heart.
Uh-huh.
Didn't mention that to Dez on the date.
This time.
That suddenly got forgotten. And she's like, he has such a hard time opening up to me. That's why I'm giving you this rose. He keeps pictures of his accident in his pocket.
Yeah.
He has no difficulty whatsoever opening up about the cool
thing happened to me. I want to go on this show for one reason only. Just so I can sit down with the Bachelorette and show her the pictures of my colon surgery.
Right.
Yeah. He looked cute.
I actually have a video on my iPhone.
Hey, he looked cuter on his deathbed than he did on that date.
Well, I really think he didn't have any friends that told him, hey, you kind of look like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber.
Uh-huh.
His hair was up.
He's a good-looking dude, but it's just that hair is not really doing it.
And how come, you know, when a guy, like, interviews the girls and he kind of kisses two or three of them or whatever, I don't really feel bad about the guy or think of him badly, but when a girl kisses...
There's the old dilemma, right?
I know. When a girl kisses, like, three or four guys...
All he's a hoochie. He's a slut, right?
Yeah. You know, it's just different for some reason.
Well, we talked about Ben, the DB from Dallas who brought his kid in there.
See, you've labeled him that awfully quickly.
The entrepreneur who actually is a bartender.
Well, kid's not the only one. It's everybody in the house and a lot of people on Twitter.
Not really showing us why he is. The men all hate him, but they're not explaining why. Like with the previous, when they have women in a room, they build up a case against her. This guy shows up with his son, and that's why they all hate him. They're not showing enough backstory why the men hate him.
You can feel it out. When you meet somebody, you can tell, okay, this guy's, I'm just getting that vibe.
He's too aggressive and too douchey.
I'm saying they should show more of the meat so we understand why they hate him as much as they do.
Building it up.
And the tweets I was getting from girls who have actually gone to the bar where he's a bartender, not an entrepreneur, but the bartender.
Yeah.
One of them told me that he told her, just wait, my kid is going to make me so famous.
He said it's true. His kid's right.
And then, of course, we get that whole, hey, can I steal her away for a minute? Mm-hmm. And Ben did that not once, not twice, three times. And 20 guys left, and Ben steals her away three different times. But in this case, I thank him because it kept James from telling us about his life-threatening type 1 diabetes.
I thought he was going to put his needle right there.
Sitting back, waiting for her to come grab them. But that's not how I do it. I'm a lot more old-fashioned. The guy, he goes after the girl.
if I have to steal her away from somebody, that's just how I'm going to have to do it. I don't want to do it that way, but...
There's a rose on the date tonight, and it's mine.
So the other guys start complaining like girls about Ben. They all get together in a group and start talking about Ben.
Of all the guys in this house, it's Ben. And he is safe for at least another week, you know?
Tell girlfriend.
And after being the way he's been in this house...
He's the tough gay bachelor.
I see Ben with a rose on his chest. Swoop in.
He's the federal prosecutor guy.
You know what Ben is? He is the tiara of this season.
He kind of is.
He got the first impression rose, and he's turning into the person everybody hates because Ben's only there for her, and he doesn't care to make friends.
He's there for the right reasons, JC.
He's going to find love.
He's there for the right reasons.
He's turning into tiara.
Did you say right reasons, Kelly?
I said the right reasons. I'm the bachelorette, and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love, one man for my whole life. Last time you saw me, I was crying in a limo.
The rap from the guys.
Can we just all agree to watch something else next week?
Or? That's cool.
I've got to stay. I've committed to the season.
Okay.
I have no options.
I like Kelly's idea while he's sitting there talking. Just pull out a syringe and a little.
Yeah, man.
And just give yourself your insulin shot.
Since we're going to be married, obviously, Dez, in case I go into diabetic shock, here's what you need to do.
Man.
I was happy he got interrupted because that was annoying. I'm not saying diabetics are annoying. I'm saying the fact that you need to share your medical history in order to win a stinking rose. You're a hypocrite because you're mad at the other guy for bringing his son.
Yeah.
You're pulling out the diabetes card.
Exactly.
You can't be. You're a hypocrite.
I mean, would this work for you in a club or in a restaurant when you meet a girl within 2 minutes to tell her about your near-death experience? Right.
This is obviously working in real life, too. I think some guys might be watching this secretly because I went on a blind date.
Oh, they are.
Let me tell you, on a blind date, with a guy told me within 30 minutes that he was going to be needing a heart transplant one day. I'm like, X?
Yeah.
You are. Because I don't love you yet. Now, I'm not until death do we part stage yet, and you're leading with, I'm going to need a heart transplant?
Dude, different guys.
Now, Dez would have given him a rose.
Different guys have different games. I mean, I've told you about the guy that will go to the club, and as soon as he gets there, he throws up his keys with a little Mercedes emblem. I mean, everybody's got kind of little.
Yeah, if you want a gold digger, that's what you do.
Game.
Like the new one, last night, there were a lot of guys in bars going up to girls they don't know going, hey, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get throat cancer like Michael Douglas.
You know why, girl.
And they're just bragging.
And you know why, girl.
Yeah. But the pity card, where does that ever work?
It ain't working on me.
I mean, you walk up to a girl, hi, how you doing? Jenna, let's do it. Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good, I'm Kid.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. My dad left when I was 5.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
And my mom was a single mom and had to raise us, and we had to move from.
She became a drug addict,
and I went to a fourth grade in one school, and then fifth grade in another school, and sixth grade. And I was constantly moving, and we were in the witness protection program. And
you're kind of hot. Do you want to go get a drink?
Sure, love to.
Obviously, works on Jenna.
Did that go against your premise?
Yeah, like I sat down with Kinsey, and she goes, and she's watching this. She's like, "Do guys just do this on the like? Would you give out your information about what happened with your family on the first date to me, like if we weren't together and you were on the show?" And I was like, no, absolutely not, because it's weird.
We're different guys.
I want to get to know somebody first before you get to that point,
right? It's so awkward and awful.
You don't know each other.
Yeah, right.
It's so weird, though, because I thought normally we kind of hid the things we considered to be weaknesses.
That was the old days.
Like, we would hide, you know, parental problems, family issues, or, you know, maybe a disability. And
as
now,
a single mom, when do I bring up the fact that I have a child?
I don't want to scare
like
kid,
almost,
but now
I don't want to scare
like,
him off.
Yeah, now it's almost like my disadvantages make me unique.
It's like the roast ceremony is a pity party ceremony.
Ugh.
Like, who's most pitiful?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the guy you want to marry, the guy's most pitiful.
Well, you know what? These are not our tastes. Yeah. These are Dez's tastes.
And it's a competition, man. They're trying to win.
Yeah.
They're not trying to love. They're trying to win. And
as long as they're there for the right
whatever
reasons.
Whatever it is.
Hey, did you say right reasons?
Why are you guys surprised?
Did I say right?
Oh, my God. Did I say right reasons?
Yes, you did.
I'm the best Rhett, and I'm rapping to you.
Oh, the best.
Okay. Please tell me that's available on iTunes.
Oh, they said at the end, they go, if you would like to watch the full version of the music video, please go to abc.com. And I was like, no.
Well,
I don't want to go to ABC to watch that thing.
You do, because I watched it, and Chris raps in it.
Oh, they all rap in it.
Chris Harrison. It's
To abc.com.
Chris Harrison raps
you
in it.
You admitted that
I got
loud.
A tip that Chris rapped in it. I had to watch it.
Chris Harrison raps.
Where's
that clip?
No.
Where's the Chris top
Harrison
left.
Okay. Rapping.
Harrison right. raps in it.
So this wow. first date was Brooks and Dez, and I'll stop after this. And they clearly like connected. And because
he kept it real. He just acted like it was a first date.
And he's sincere and genuine. Yeah. And seems like a nice guy.
I like him.
And she seems down home and pretty down to earth as well. So maybe something will work out. And they were making out and kissing and stuff. And then they had that Andy Grammer concert, which is really, really hard to dance to. Says you had a bad day.
Well, they're both not dancers, I don't think.
No.
I don't think Brooks or Dez are dancers.
And I would be happy with Brooks and Dez getting together right now if Brooks could promise to never say amazing again.
He did say it a lot.
Oh, my God. And I think there's a couple of her in here, too, but this is just 15 seconds of glory, amazing glory from last night.
So amazing. This is so amazing.
This is amazing. And they all did an amazing job.
Amazing.
These guys are amazing.
Oh, that's just
such an amazing man. Amazing husband material.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing.
Get another word! God!
I blame you because you're putting
too much weight on a chip!
Now it's in my head. Every time I hear somebody say amazing, I get angry.
Yeah. You remember that movie, The Dictator?
Yeah.
With Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah.
All right. And what was his name in the movie? I can't remember.
I forget.
But whatever his name was, Al Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like Paula Dean. I remember it was something.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Paul Aldean or something like that.
I don't think I got that movie.
He changed words in his country.
Right.
Like to Aldean. So he said like, okay, the word positive now means Aldean.
Okay.
The word positive is now
Aldean.
Aldean.
Yeah.
Let's be Aldean right now.
We're changing the word negative also to Aldean. So they had a guy in there, like they showed a doctor's office and the guy's like, okay, I've just given you your HIV test and the results are Aldean. The guy's like,
so, good Aldean or bad Aldean?
That's how amazing is to me now.
Jason Aldean?
What does it mean?
Well, the problem is...
Amazing.
No, it's actually a good word, and it's a correct word to use to describe some things.
You could say spectacular
sometimes.
That's the problem,
that now it's so overused.
Switch it up with spectacular.
It's so lazy.
Incredible. Spectacular.
I know, but...
So what am I supposed to say? Like, that's awe-inducing.
No.
That's redonkulous.
Awesome?
You really, just, really good.
That's gnarly.
Let's try this experiment.
We already did this around the room last time, remember?
Let's try this experiment, okay?
Yeah, right.
Again.
Take a tip from Al here.
Okay.
Right before you get to this is, right before you get to the word amazing, just say, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So we went on this date, which, you know what I'm saying? And then
there you go.
She, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? No, see, now you know what I'm saying substitutes for.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
No, that's nouns, verbs, adjectives, everything.
Yeah. That's just when you.
Also, right there when she said this guy's amazing husband material, she could say, this guy's, you know what I'm saying?
You know
husband
saying?
Material.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and then she sounds cool.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
All right, so the black dude went home. Which one was
he?
Robert.
Surprise.
Robert or Nick?
Or Soulja
Boy. I don't know, but he couldn't dance.
No, I remember his name. It was Will Smith.
No.
The black dude was Will Smith.
Will can dance. This guy couldn't dance or rap or
this
anything.
This is Will Smith, the Chicago banker.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, Will Smith is from Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where he spent most of his days.
Listen.
I came here for love. I was ready for it. I was super excited about having a relationship with Dez, and it just didn't work out.
Right.
Well, I want to find someone.
He's drunk.
He's drunk.
Yeah.
The rest of my life with.
Please.
And I think she's a great person. I think that she's the type of woman that I would love to pursue. But
I better not. I hope I'm not driving.
They get them drunk so that they will cry. That's why they get them drunk.
Y'all call Uber for me because I really don't care.
I just need Uber.
Yeah, I'm surprised I made it to the second week because I'm the obligatory black guy that they always bring in here to go out with the white girl one time. And they never send me home the first week because they don't want to seem like
racist. I'm actually the third highest ranking black contestant ever on The Bachelor.
When's the brother going to keep it real when he gets kicked out of The Bachelorette?
I go, oh,
it's
really?
Like,
oh, what a shock.
You're going to kick out the black girl?
Oh, what a shock.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on now.
Hey, they never go out the first week because they don't want to seem like racist, so yeah, well, let him go for like 2 weeks, maybe.
Oh,
for
he should have been offended she brought him on the rapping date.
Did he ever
stereotypical?
Did he ever even have a conversation with her? One,
no.
Well, we see him talking to her at all?
No.
He was on the group date. That was the difficulty there.
Awesome. Okay.
Did she ever utter the phrase "I have other black friends"?
Probably.
Kid Craddock in the morning.
It's hard to tell on this show if we're on the air or not. So
what
this
you trying
week,
to find kid.
Well, it's just I'm just. frustrated.
Oh, no.
Like, normally on a computer, when you click on something, you can then scroll down, but this one, it just highlights everything. And
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I love having Windows stuff all around me. That's awesome.
Is that the story you wanted? Nevada Governor calls 4:30 a.m. session?
No, I can't get to any stories. As you can see, I'm trying to scroll.
I thought you were being very politically minded this morning.
I mean, we could, but it doesn't work at all. So that's good.
Sorry about that.
So. That's good.
Jim Kelly, the former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, has jaw cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really a sad deal because they have to go in and that's a bad one. They have to go in and take half your mouth out.
But he seems like teeth out. He's in good spirits. He said it's isolated, so it's treatable.
He's been through it. You know, he and his wife gave birth to a baby that had this rare neurological disease. He wasn't supposed to live 2 years, and he lived to be six or seven, I think, and passed away back in 2005. He's dealing with that. We meet a lot of kids that that have been, you know, dealt a bad hand, and we take as many of them as we can on our kids trip every year. Kids with cerebral palsy, kids with cystic fibrosis, kids with cancer, and the applications for this year's kids trip are now available. It's the first time this year they become available, and you can pick those up at our website, which is kidskids.com. K-I-D-D-S, K-I-D-S, so like possessive, kidskids.com. And we're looking for kids between the ages of 5 and 11, before their 12th birthday. And they must be diagnosed with either a chronic or terminal illness or an impairment due to a birth defect or some accident or injury.
Right.
And they should live in an area where you can hear our show.
And a family that couldn't afford to do this on their own.
That's almost, that's almost all of them, though.
Yeah, right.
Because this thing is so expensive, this trip. We just do it totally first class to Disney World. We take about 45 or 50 families. Southwest Airlines is our partner on this, and they give us an entire 737 to take down there. And even that's not enough because then we have people coming in from other cities that will just fly directly into the trip.
Right.
And at the end of it, we end up with sometimes 55, 60 families, the entire families there. Mm-hmm. Talking about 350, 400 people all going to Disney World at once. And you guys are footing the bill for all of it, and we appreciate it.
And we hope you are.
And the pilots and the crew donate their time.
They donate everything, yeah. So it's an expensive trip because we don't get everything for free. We have to pay a ridiculously high rate for the hotel partner, a rate so high I don't even want to say their name.
We'll not say their name.
Yeah, until they decide that they don't need to make such a huge profit off a bunch of sick kids. But we do it totally first class. The reason we haven't left that hotel is because it's just so perfect for them.
So convenient,
And so convenient for them because a lot of them aren't ambulatory. So in this particular hotel, they can take the boat right there, or they can take the bus out front, or they can take the monorail. It makes it perfectly simple. This trip is 5 days. It happens in November. The dates this year are...
I have them right here.
I do, too.
Beat you to it. I'm going to beat you. No, November the 21st, 25th.
November 21st to 25th. And Kids Day, when we raise the money for this year's trip, will be October the 23rd. You guys have always come through for us. Last year, nearly $500,000 in 1 3-hour period of raising money.
Nice.
And I love this little deal that we have going on. We won't beat you up for money all year long. And then one day, one show, 3 hours, we'll ask you to help. And then we won't ask you again. Unless... it's not enough, but it's always been enough.
Yeah.
You guys have always come through and paid for this trip. So we're very excited about it. Justin Bieber's even been on the trip before.
Mm-hmm.
Not with his sunglasses and leather shirt.
No, it was before the sunglasses.
Yeah. No big, huge bodyguard.
Right. We went to the Lion King show and you couldn't see anything because Justin Bieber's bodyguard blocked it.
No, he had his bodyguard with him, but he wasn't as big.
He didn't need a big bodyguard then.
Yeah, it was just Kenny back in the day, former radio DJ.
Yep. And now he's got the big old bodyguard. Who stands up at the Miami Heat game behind Justin, who's in the front row, of course. Mm. Who's the girl?
Her name is, I have it right in front of me. Actually.
Everybody was assuming that was his date. They were all calling her the Selena Gomez lookalike, trying to stick it in Selena's face.
Well, what if it was just a girl who was sitting?
It was just a girl sitting there.
Her name's Haley Yodi, something like that.
And so she won the teenage lottery.
Yeah.
got the seat next to Justin Bieber.
Did she win the lottery? Because maybe she is a huge Justin Bieber fan, so why would she put the hashtag, he's an mm-hmm?
Well, maybe she was before she sat next to him.
Exactly.
Because the pictures from her sitting there, he looks ticked off.
I find a lot of people start out being a Justin Bieber fan until they actually have an experience with Justin Bieber.
She's beaming. She's so excited to be sitting there, and then suddenly that turns ugly.
This hashtag she put all the Justin Bieber fans are now threatening this girl and going after her and calling her the worst names ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to think about the guy because I looked this up to see, like, if I want, I went back in time and I looked at some cached ticket scalper sites to see what would it cost if I wanted to go sit in the second row for the game 7 of the Heat and the Pacers. And the average price was between $10,000 and $14,000 a seat
for Game 7.
To sit down there in that second row where this guy was sitting, and directly in front of him is this 5 feet wide man who is his bodyguard. How angry are you?
Oh, dude,
you pay $12,000. I'm going to go get the manager, somebody,
get the owner,
move that guy.
David Beckham was there.
Yeah,
chilling.
Do you
just
need
hanging out. No bodyguard, nothing. Every celebrity that was there, Flo Rida, no bodyguard. He was there with his manager who got kicked out or whatever, but no bodyguard.
And I get the feeling it wasn't Justin who said to the guy, stand behind me the whole time. I think it was Scooter or somebody else, meaning they got to protect Justin from the people, not protect the
people.
Fine,
then have whoever take someone to sit next to you.
Yeah, let me say it right.
Put him in a suite.
They got to protect the people from Justin, not Justin from
the
people.
Put him in a suite. There's sometimes you give up certain things with celebrity.
No, bro.
And one of them might be courtside seats when you got an 8-foot guy blocking everybody's view behind you.
Right. Just be considerate. I mean,
so disrespectful, man. It's just like,
you know, he's not doing himself any favors, and he's got Lil Twist tagging along again.
I mean,
leech. I'm going to call him Lil Leech from now on.
I would be begging, if I'm Justin Bieber, I'd be begging that bodyguard, please sit down. Don't you see what you're doing to me here? Don't you see what you're doing?
He looks absolutely miserable.
You're making me look like a huge DB. Quit it.
Justin looks miserable.
Yeah.
He looks so angry and upset and sad.
And the Heat are winning, and he loves the Heat.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
Says everybody's after him.
All the money in the world, all the fame in the world, all the freedom in the world, all the everything in the world, and he looks miserable.
But can you imagine, you're at a basketball game, they show you on the big screen, and you get booed.
That's embarrassing.
That's got to be the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You're at the billboards, you go up there to get an award, you get booed.
Did he get booed at the basketball
game? Yeah. Yeah, he got booed at the basketball game.
He's got to...
Like bad?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got to put on the bravado, like... They just hate me. The haters. I'm going to show them.
And
you
there's people that came out and they're like, oh, no, they were booing the Pacers. No, they booed when Justin came on. It's like, man, this guy's 19 years old. You got to give him a little bit.
And stay away. If you're Justin, stay away from events that are dominated by guys. Guys don't like you. So stay away from
guy likes basketball. He's not going to shy away from basketball or hockey or anything
basketball.
Like that.
Go to Project Runway.
Yeah.
You know, go to the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Go dress normal. Wear a normal shirt. Don't wear that leather thing you're wearing. Wear a normal hat. Don't wear your glasses indoors because people think that's the biggest DB-ish thing you could do.
Sunglasses.
You don't wear sunglasses inside. That automatically will make people hate you.
Are more for outdoor sporting events.
Right. Just go in there and smile, man, and try to win them over.
And let us see you being nice to people as they're walking by you.
Be Justin from 3 years ago. When everybody, even dudes loved you.
And
even,
while you're there, sing the national anthem. How about that?
Even dudes would be like, man, that little Justin guy, I don't like his music, but he's cool. Now it's not that, not even that.
You know, I want to walk up to, I said this to somebody that knows him really well. I said, I want to walk up to him with a pen and turn him around and hit his reset button. You know? Like you do on an iPhone or an iPad or something.
He can't go back.
I just want to reset him.
He can only evolve.
He needs to be reset.
He needs to grow out of it. I don't know how long it's going to take and who's going to do it to him, but he is being an ass.
He's dangerously close to becoming my new Britney Spears because, you know, I get really protective of Britney.
Yeah, you do.
I'm about to cross over and get that way with Justin.
I feel that with him because I remember him as that kid that came here. You know, you still remember him as that just because that's how we knew him. We don't know this, Justin.
He was 14.
We don't know this guy.
He was so fun. He was a fun kid.
Yeah.
He was annoying.
He'll walk up behind you and choke you out just for no reason while we're on air, whatever.
God. At Disney World, when we were walking through Magic Kingdom, at least 50 times he would do the reach around and tap me on the other shoulder while he's standing to my left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd look to my right and be like, ha-ha! Gotcha! Ha-ha! I wish that was all he was doing. That's fine. You know, he's a little prankster.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But now he has a little Twist tap people on the shoulder.
This thing with the bodyguard standing behind him and blocking the view of people and
that's wrong.
So bad. And that's my theory. I have a theory I haven't shared with you guys yet.
Oh, boy.
Would it be beyond Justin Bieber to pay some young Hollywood starlet hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially a starlet who's not making any money, to dominate the tabloid headlines to keep him away from him? Thank you, Amanda Bynes.
Oh, please, no. Are you serious? That's
Amanda
your theory?
Throw away all your...
I have no other explanation for her behavior except that Justin Bieber is paying her to ruin her image so that she is on the front page of the tabloids, not him.
Well, it ain't working because he's like...
He's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, second story on every gossip website.
He's still on there. But just crazy that that it's turned this quickly for him. Like, I think it's only going to get worse for a while, you know?
Me too.
He could turn it around, but...
Wait, Kelly?
You can't turn your head around, hat around.
I could turn my hat around. I'm a grown-ass man.
You're off continuity.
Hey, you know that TV show we're doing?
Okay, I turn my hat around. People turn their hats around.
Why?
In the middle of a show?
I don't know. I'm just sitting here turning my hat around.
Like, you're not... If you're,
if you're over
28, you're not allowed to ever wear the hat that
What are you, Sylvester Stallone and over the top? You turn it around, bring the A-game?
You're so going to be edited out.
Just look at me with disdain.
I was like, turn your hat around. I was trying to signal you, turn your hat back around.
She is just put out. Like, I can't believe you turned your hat around. My God.
Hey, she woke up sassy.
That's a great Kelly Raspberry impersonation, by the way.
Yeah, Kelly was
one of the best ones
man.
I've heard.
Now, look, Al.
Yes,
you do not tell me how I'm acting. I am Kelly Raspberry, damn it. Now, give me some coffee. Somebody better give me some coffee. That's all I got to say. We'll be back with more Kid Craddock in the Morning. Shut up, Al.
You're listening to Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Kid Craddock in the Morning.
So the Writers Guild of America have come out with a list because they know how much we love lists. They've done the 101 Best Written TV Series. Okay. And we're just going to go over the top 10, okay? West Wing came in number 10.
Never What's this you're talking about with writing TV shows? I thought all TV shows were reality. Nobody writes
anything. No, this is back. See, this is so long ago, they couldn't even pick something more recent than the West Wing to come in 10th place.
So there's nothing from like the last 10 years in here.
No. Yeah, there's actually a couple from the last 10 years. Cheers would not be one of them. That came in 8th place. I remember the good old days of Cheers, that witty repartee.
Yeah. You go somewhere where everybody knows your name.
A lot of the shows are from the 70s. You've got the best written shows are from the 70s, according to these guys, because you have Mary Tyler Moore and MASH and All in the Family and Cheers. They're all right there.
Wow.
And may Edith Bunker rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, you also have The Wire, which was not that long ago. Yeah. Mad Men.
Mad Men, the only show that made the list that's currently in production that's in the top 10, at least.
I have not seen an episode of that.
It's good.
Unfortunately, the only ones I have seen episodes of are from the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Kelly.
So the best written shows on TV, your top three are Twilight Zone from the 60s.
I loved that show.
Seinfeld from the 80s.
Okay.
What's the deal with these lists?
Who are these shows?
And number one, The Sopranos.
Even including the series finale. Ugh.
Which was great.
Yeah, that was the best ending ever.
No.
Yes.
Nobody knows what happened. Everyone complained about it.
It's up to you.
Do you have to
Exactly.
See it?
I don't want it to be up to me. That's what you pay writers for, to tell me how it ends.
No, you could have a happy ending. You could have a sad ending. You could have whatever ending
you
want, Kelly.
I want the real ending. I don't want to have to guess. Because no matter what you guess, the writer's going to say, oh, it's wrong.
Okay, Kelly, it's pretty obvious to me. The guy came out of the bathroom and shot the whole family.
Everybody's done.
Oh, it's obvious to you.
They're all dead.
I think it's lazy writing on their part. Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yes. They don't know how to end it, so they just toss a coin up in the air.
Brilliant. That's what's the number one.
No. Lazy.
That's if they're guilty of anything, it's thinking that people like you are smart enough to figure it out.
No, people like me didn't watch, so I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Hands down.
Pretty
this needs
well
to be
written.
Look, I'm not saying Breaking Bad needs to be number one, because I didn't watch all of The Sopranos, and I've heard that that is the best of all time, but Breaking Bad has got to be in the top 10.
Totally agree. I think The Walking Dead has to be in there as well, and I could totally see True Blood being on this list somewhere.
Yeah.
A lot of people might argue for Arrested Development.
Yeah.
What about Cosby? Show the brothers a little bit of love. Wasn't that number one for like 5 or 6 years?
Cosby, the best written show on TV?
Yeah.
Friends could have made the list, right?
Right.
So what's the number one worst written show on TV? It has to be written. I'd say The Kardashians.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Right.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast.
A condensed version of the show.
Kid Craddock in the Morning.